sermon, we are going to continue about, from the book of Ephesians, or the letter of Ephesians that the Apostle Paul wrote from Ephesus or Rome. He was in prison. He writes this letter to a beloved church that he founded. Some people were Greek in it. Some people were Jewish. Now, anyone who was not a Jewish believer in that Mediterranean world, they were known by the Jews as Gentiles. And Gentiles, unfortunately, were looked down by the synagogue because they were never good enough. Historically, remember, the Jewish race was the chosen race, and God loved them. God is the one who gave them the commandments. So if you were outside the Jewish race, you were looked down as, you were inferior, and your destiny was hell. Now, in many ways, those Gentiles also did not help, themselves, because they worshipped many gods, and the Jews just wanted to stay away. Actually, the Jews stayed away from their cousins, the Samaritans. They hated their gods. I mean, they were like a few miles up north, but historically, they divided themselves at the time of Solomon, and then they moved themselves, and anyone who spoke to a Samaritan, God forbid, they were going to go to hell. Or they were taken out of the Jewish community. Right? I mean, and then Jesus comes and tells the story of a Samaritan. And to basically tell the Jews, saying, look, you got this whole thing wrong. You know, here God uses a Samaritan to save somebody who was, and that we have this idea of good Samaritan now, right? Oh, he's being a good Samaritan. And that good Samaritan was the enemy of the Jewish race. And then, of course, we have Jesus going up to Samaria and asking a woman for a drink. Well, what is he trying to do? No wonder he was hated by the rabbis, because he was doing the exact opposite of what the rabbis were teaching. He was saying, love your enemy. How can I love my enemy? You just love your enemy. It's up to them to respond or not. Some responded, and some did not. Now, today's sermon, it is an important sermon, as all sermons are, because they're based on God's Word. Now, last week, we dealt with the issue of the heart. You were here, I said, the real problem of humanity is the heart problem, because from the heart comes evil. From the heart comes deception. It's all the heart. It's not the eye. It's not the legs. It's not the hands. It's just really the heart. It is just corrupt by nature. You know, when you've got a computer, you've got the hard drive, and when you've got a virus in it, no matter what you do, those files are always going to come up to your screen corrupted. You need to fix it. But then sometimes you're limited in what you could do with those viruses, so you have to call somebody who is really aware of hard drives. Your only drive, the only person who can fix your heart is Jesus, as we discussed last week. Once that's fixed, then everything else will flow from there. Now today, the same Christ that is in the book of Ephesians that we've covered, in chapter 2, verses 11 and onwards, it is talking about unity. That unity can only be accomplished, it says, through Christ. You know, everybody wants unity today, right? I mean, John Lennon wanted. Remember that famous song? You know, he wanted peace and love and no borders, no walls. Let me give you the bad news now. There will always be walls as long as humanity exists. Some walls are necessary. Some walls are very invisible. No wonder we call this church a church without walls. Because you could be in a church and there will be a lot of walls. Actually, in the temple. Remember in the temple that the Jews worshipped? There was a wall that separated the Gentiles from the Jews. And also, there was a wall that separated the Jews from God. What happened on the cross? When Jesus said it was finished at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that wall was torn down. Physically, that curtain was divided into two. And then there was free access to God. You see what Christ did on the cross? It's so important. We cannot achieve unity or peace in church or in the world apart from Christ. A lot of people have tried this. John Lennon tried it. This woman tried it. She said, can't say her name. You know who she is. She's the Burmese, from Burma. She was under house arrest for many, many years because of her beliefs. She believed in peace. She believed in human rights. I mean, this woman was highly respected in the world up to like 2 years ago. She forgot what she was preaching. And I'll tell you what she preached and what she did. She said, absolute peace in our world is an unattainable goal. I think she's absolutely right. But it is one towards which we must continue to journey. Our eyes fixed on it as a traveler in a desert fixes his eyes on the one guiding star that will lead him to salvation. Well, to a certain degree I agree, but I know it doesn't work. I'm not belittling these people. I'm just saying it doesn't work. This woman preached on human rights for years. For years. Every human being in Burma should be free, freedom of speech, until the, what was that, the tribe name, the Rohingya Muslims. Rohingya Muslims were being attacked by the Burmese, and, I mean, don't you watch TV? And they were all kicked out of their, you know, of their homeland, and they left to Bangladesh by the millions. She was nowhere to be found. You know where she was? She was in the parliament by this stage. She came to a position of power. And everybody, all, you know, human rights groups started rebuking her. They said, you know, here is a woman who just preached peace and human rights, and now that she's in power, she's no longer taking care of the Rohingya people. It's interesting, isn't it, what life does? This guy, Gerald Hausman, said, we humans fear the beast within the wolf because we do not understand the beast within ourselves. Everyone carries a beast. Oh boy, some beasts that are very dangerous when they're on a leash. And you say, where the heck did this come from? I always had it in me. It was rail hidden under a cage, but hey, don't mess up with me. You know, some people like act like angels, and all of a sudden they draw a line and go like, who is this person? Be scared of the beast within you. I hope you control that beast, or let others control it. Freedom from fear and injustice and oppression will be ours only, he says, Dwight Eisenhower, he says, be ours only in the measure that men who value such freedom are ready to sustain its possession, to defend it against every thrust from within or without. You know, this whole situation in America today with immigration, with walls, with everybody is trying to protect something, right? But you have to fight it in order to protect it. Peace cannot be attained outside the realm, sometimes, of fighting. Take the Second World War, right? I mean, you could have been a pacifist and say, okay, I don't believe in war. Come and take over. A greater evil had to be used, unfortunately, to get rid of evil. And they're complicated, but the world has always seen war in order to achieve peace. And do not ever buy into this idea that there will be peace by humans doing things together. I think everybody is trying to achieve that, right? Everybody is trying to fight to bring peace. I mean, take the Middle East peace process. This is a process, a long, 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 impossible process. But they still call it a process because it's not going to happen overnight. And I can tell you, during Jesus' time, they were still negotiating. John Lennon said, if everybody demanded peace instead of another television set or iPhone, I would say today, then there'd be peace. Really? I mean, this man, I have to say, you know, John Lennon, he was a genius. He was a gifted music writer. I'm not talking about his moral life. You have to give credit where it's due. He was a brilliant music writer. And I truly, truly believe that he wanted peace. True peace. But he just, you know, he wrote beautiful songs. Let's see what he wrote. He said, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries, no borders in Mexico. It isn't hard to do nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living in a life in peace. You may say that I'm a dreamer. He was. But I'm not the only one. A lot of people, he's right. He's prophetic. There's a lot of people who just want peace. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. He was very wealthy.
I wonder if you can.
No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Won't they? How can they? The man who preached peace, he was killed. Well, I mean, I know, but he was killed. At the end of the day, you know, the man who preached peace was killed. I mean, you take, you know, Martin Luther King. He was killed. I mean, those people who really wanted to achieve peace, and they were genuine in their approach. But however, their lives were put to an end. The well-being of, this is Baha'u'llah, I can't even, you know, it's a... The well-being of mankind, its peace and security are unattainable unless and until its unity is firmly established. I was thinking about what the heck the author is trying to say. Then I read it and read it. What he's saying is that humans have to be united in order for peace to be achieved. For the past, since civilization started, since the Garden of Eden, humanity has never been united. Never. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. We all want peace. We want peace in our homes. We want peace in our neighbors, with our neighbors. We want peace in our communities. We want a peace in our schools. We want peace, peace, peace. But is it attainable? Let's not live a dream that is not attainable. It's a waste of time. It's good to dream, right? I dream to become the president of the USA. I was not born here. And I'll be the last person who could be there. You see, everything works against me. I could dream, but I will never be able to attain it. I've got a better chance to be the king of England. My own imagination, though, right? And you too. Peace, is it attainable? I say absolutely not. And sometimes, people, Christians, believe in this lie, and they preach a gospel that says, if we all do what Christ has told us to do, there will be peace. If we all do what Christ has told us, it sounds biblical, doesn't it? If we all do what Christ has told us to do, we will live in peace. That's garbage, I'm sorry. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The issue comes back to the heart. It's not the doing. Because you could do good, the heart is going to keep producing evil. Human nature, by a human heart by nature, they have the tendency of just doing evil. So what is the solution? I mean, it's quite depressing, isn't it? Get here on a Sunday morning, you want to be uplifted. This is depressing. This is depression 101. It doesn't get any worse. I'm telling you, there will be no peace on earth. But peace is attainable and achievable, not through our works. And this is where Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and onwards, this is what it says. Don't forget, the Apostle Paul says, that you Gentiles, he's talking people to you and me, used to be outsiders. It's a terrible thing to be an outsider, isn't it? Remember, like, you know, they're having a party, but you're outside. They didn't invite you because you're not good enough. You just don't fit the criteria. He says, you know, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews. They even had a name. Those are the uncircumcised heathens. Who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. And you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people into one humanity. In his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law, when with its commandments and regulations, he made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new humanity from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross. And our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Without Christ, it is an impossibility to really have peace with your neighbor. The reason we can experience peace, because of what Christ did for us, and because the Holy Spirit has brought us together. A Christian who calls himself or herself a Christian will always have a hostile relationship with somebody who is driven by the Holy Spirit. A Christian who is driven by religion will always be hostile towards somebody who is driven by the Holy Spirit, because the understanding of peace is so different. So don't tell me that you're going to achieve peace by just praying together, because in many ways you are praying to a different God. Your understanding of what the church is differs. One believes that this church that can experience peace is brought together by the Holy Spirit. The other church believes that, oh, we could do a lot of programs and bring people in, but Christ, yeah, we could believe in Christ, but hey, church is more than Christ at times. That's what they say. So you want those two groups to have peace? They can't. It's an impossibility. And I say to the believer, run away. Run away before it's too late. The second thing that I learned from this is that the Church of Jesus Christ is God's invention. It has to do with new humanity. Where the old has gone, you cannot bring the old with you. And the new has come. See what happened in the Tower of Babel. You remember people were building that, they wanted to achieve God. You know, they didn't need God, we want to become like God. So they were building this tower. Actually, the remains of the tower is still seen you could see the bases of those foundations still there. And it is during Babel that God brings confusion upon people. It is there that different languages and different humanities are created. Up to that point, there were just one race, one nation. It is at that point that they are divided. The curse of Babel, I call it. And that curse is reversed on the day of Pentecost, when God brings unity through Christ to all nations who will come by believing in his Son. He is creating a new humanity. The church cannot exist without a new identity. So you need a new citizenship to be a member of this church. You could come and attend it, I say. Anybody could come. But in order to be a member of the fabrics of this church, you need to be part of that new humanity that can only be possible through the work of the Christ on the cross. And you will have that conviction right within you. And that peace is attained. Peace that transcends all understanding. That in the middle of the storm, you have peace. Because you know who your Savior is. You might get angry, your body might get agitated, you'll have the pains here and there, but you know that peace that comes from above, nothing can take. So when people talk about peace and forgiveness, I always say, I wonder from what base you're bringing all these things out. Forgiveness cannot be achieved apart from the living Christ living in us. It can't. I mean, you know, they did this, Desmond Tutu. I mean, I respect him. You know, he was the bishop. And, I mean, talking about races, right? There's a big issue of race here, the whites and blacks. What's the issue in Rwanda, blacks and blacks? What's the issue in Northern Ireland, whites and whites? Come on, it's not an issue of race. It's an issue of lack of peace, which creates greed and anger. Because there's the absence of Christ. The issue is not against Protestants and Catholics. It is against being alienated from God. That's what the problem is. But no one wants to address it because religion is not that cool. Believe whatever you believe, but don't force your beliefs on me. I'm not forcing it. I'm telling you how wrong you are. And this is not my opinion. It is God's opinion. You want to achieve peace? Then look at Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. And what did the angels come and declare to the world, to the shepherds? Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth. And this is the section we forget, with men whom God is well pleased with. That ending is never preached. Only man and woman will experience that type of peace if they really know Jesus. And you don't have to go to Bible school to get to, to understand that. It's as simple as that, and the Holy Spirit takes over. People might ask me, well, how can I do all this? There was a guy, when Peter was preaching and then healing people right and left, there was a man by the name of Simeon, I believe. He looked at this and he says, man, I want this power too. So he wanted to buy it. How much is it? I'll buy this. I want this power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter just mad. He says, curse you and your money. You cannot buy the gift of God with money. It's a free gift. And for all of us to experience it, we need it. It's given to us. But God wants us to surrender. Remember the church. If I could name the name of the church today, I think we need to come up with a new name. I'm not saying the Church of the Risen King. I'm talking about church. If people say, yeah, I don't go to church, I go to a place called New Humanity. That's what the church is. We've changed it over the years. We've politicized it. We have created huge things out of nothing. And then we all did it in the name of Jesus. I have heathens who preach at me and quote Bible verses. Whoever did to the least of these, I'm going, yes. That's, you're doing this to make yourself feel good. And you're just throwing a Bible verse in order to raise money. That's the utter truth. Let's talk about Christ. Let's talk about the church. Oh, what do you mean? Well, I'm very happy with the church that I'm going. Yeah, because they are feeding you the same poison that they have fed you for all these years. People don't talk like this. You know why? Because pastors will lose their jobs. They will. Because they are going to offend people. I'm so sorry if you are offended today. That's the whole purpose of this sermon. Is to shake us and offend us and go and offend others in the name of Jesus in order to bring people back to new humanity in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. People don't talk like this anymore because they are too afraid. It's politically incorrect. How dare you judge me? I'm not judging you. God's word judges. It's a double-edged sword. Not just one side. It cuts from both ends. Think about it. A double-edged sword. Oh, I don't want to touch this side. The other side is equally bad. But it's good for the heart. I don't know where we are in my sermon here. This is so important. Because it has blinded. Religion has blinded so many people. They want forgiveness without understanding Christ's forgiveness. They want cheap grace. They sing Amazing Grace, but what they should be singing is, oh, what a cheap grace I believe in. That grace is not cheap. My Christ died for me on the cross. Especially when I did not deserve for anyone to die for me, He died for me. So when I said during the prayer, there are certain convictions that God gives us, we should not be ashamed. As I said to you, there are certain things that you need to start praying for. Without feeling any guilt. And don't do this out of selfish ambition. But to purify God's church. Worldwide. God. Those people who are in positions. Heavenly Father. Those people that are just so interested in power. And they've been used by the devil to be in certain positions. In churches and mission organizations. And so that. Send the Holy Spirit so that they are convicted, so that they repent of their sins. So that there's rejoicing in heaven. I don't like them, but I know that you love them. You died for them on the cross. Let them repent. But Lord, if they are not part of your repenting planning or that salvation plan, move them. Uproot them.
so that your kingdom moves forward and people are blessed. And I don't want anything from this except for your name to be glorified. So Lord, help them to repent. But if it's not part of your plan, remove them. And go as far as fast for these people, because they are a hindrance to the peace of Christ. You want peace? Bring Christ into the situation. Peace will never be attained through processes. You know, there are 7 steps if you follow the garbage. People make a lot of money through 7 steps, 5 steps. You know, there are a lot of steps. There is one step to Christ, to God, and it is through Jesus Christ. So where I want to go from here is say to you, He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles. If anybody asks me what type of a Christian I am, I will say I'm a true Jewish man, biblically speaking. Because God chose the Jewish race in order for them to become a light to the whole world. Now, anyone who is born from above becomes that race, spiritually, to shine for Jesus in the world. So yes, I am Jewish, not by birth, but spiritually. I am a citizen of Zion. Not the political Zion. It's the spiritual Zion that I'm talking about. Because Christ has made me. And you know, when I look around, I don't see race. I don't see color. I don't see language. I don't see age. I don't see education. I see new humanity. Not because we have done anything to deserve it. We all have prejudices, right? Certain cultures, about certain people. We all do. Come on, don't, you know. Yeah, we do. It's part of us. Old nature just runs after us, you know. You know how many bruises I have here, this side? Because when my wife and I, we go to certain places, and she goes like this. Because my prejudice is coming out, right? We all do. So, and sometimes she hits me so hard, I go, ow! Everybody looks. What was that all about? Nothing. We do. But I know too well that that man died a long time ago on the cross with Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So as long as we are in this nature, in this body, those prejudices are going to follow. But I know better. I cannot be perfect in this body. I can't. Sometimes I'm going to fail. But however, I need to stand up and focus on Jesus. But I know right from wrong. I know how to achieve peace. And peace that is, you know, there were times in certain churches that I used to minister. I used to be so happy. I mean, I used to dance before the sermon and just doing this. And people would say, what's wrong with you? Being happy is wrong now? People love others' misery sometimes. Rejoice when people rejoice. Be happy when people are doing well. Genuinely be happy, because the old nature always craves for others' misery. Always rejoice and encourage people, because you yourself will rejoice. And what you put in life is what you get. So my friends, if you want peace, look at Christ. Don't look at politicians. Do not ever believe in the lie that if you do what Christ has told you to do, there will be peace. You can't. That's works. Because Christ will change the heart and be your peace. That's what Scripture says. And when you struggle, when struggles come, we all have those, focus upon Jesus. Say, Lord, this day will expire and tomorrow will be a new one. Help me to go through it. It always expires, right? No wonder God gave us 24 hours. Imagine it was 48 hours every day. That would have been a long time. 24 hours, it expires and you just face the next day. And sometimes you forget what happened yesterday. I mean, imagine. But God did not invent the 24 hours. He invited the day and the night. He brings a closure to the day by bringing the light into darkness. And then He starts with light again. So focus your eyes upon Jesus and rejoice in this new humanity. No, be proud that you are part. And I'm not just saying this in a selfish way or, oh, we want to be proud of our church. But I am proud, not in a selfish way, of what Christ has done to this church. I look different colors, different races, different things. Now we want more of this. We don't want to add just numbers. Because there's no longer new humanity. We want to see people, bring people from darkness. I don't care their color or their race or their language. To a new humanity. And they be part of this church. The issue of race in this country is not an issue of race or color. The issue is of the heart. Because race, we could use that card here. Look, I'm not saying there are no problems. There are, of course, problems. It's agonizing. It's horrible. But then I also take people from same culture, same races, same colors, killing each other. And never forget the story of Abel and Cain. Remember Cain? God told them, both brothers, to bring sacrifices to him. Cain wanted to be very creative. He wanted to do it his way, by Sinatra. And then Abel says, I want to do it God's way. So scripture tells us that God accepted Abel's offering, but Cain's rejected. And what does Cain do? Goes and kills his brother. His problem was with God, not with Abel. But he wanted to eliminate the person who was a winner. No wonder Christians are under attack. No wonder believers are under attack in this nation. Look at the U.S. Women's soccer team. Wonderful for this nation, right? Did you know there was a Christian woman in 2018, because of her beliefs, she was put out of that team? Of course, the media is not going to cover it. Google it. There's still some news out there. Why? Christianity is under attack. It's not a popular faith, but it's a saving faith. In this life and in the life to come. Amen.